Prayer, ask your continued interest in your prayers as we stand before you tonight. I'm going to go to probably a familiar portion of scripture. You'll find in Romans chapter 12. I think it's good, even if it's a familiar passage of scripture, it's good for us to be reminded of the exhortations that we have in scripture because, quite frankly, we need to be exhorted from time to time. We need to be reminded, okay? And last week when we spoke about the book of life, I love that subject, don't you? Because that's something God did for us before we had our physical being. And no one can undo what God has done for us. And to be blessed to have a hope in Christ and to see those evidences in our life that gives us that assurance that our name is in that book. How wonderful is that? That our names are in the book of life. That it's not a matter of can you get it in there, or will you do enough good so that it'll stay in there, or anything like that. Fact is, God wrote that book. The names are there. We needed salvation. Jesus was sent down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And of all that thou hast given me, which equates to all that were written in that book. Of all thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. What he did applied to everyone whose name was in that book. And if their name was not in that book, it is never, ever going to apply. Cannot. No act of man, nation, government, army, power, no matter, nothing can change what God's done for us. Hallelujah. Now, in view of that, the reason I bring it up is because in view of that, how should we respond to that? How should we live our life if we're blessed to know that truth? If our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, if our hope is that our name is written in that book, if our hope is that someday we'll be in heaven's pure world, and I'm not talking about a wish now, I'm talking about the evidences we've received in our lives, those tokens that God gives us, if indeed we have that he's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure, then you're one of his. It applies to you. So how should we respond? Does it matter? Now, I shudder. I have actually heard of people that says, well, if I'm one of his, then it doesn't matter what I do. As a matter of fact, I've been a while, but I've shared the story about when I was in college and was working at the hardware store to help pay my way through school. And there was a man that confronted me one day because his daddy was a Primitive Baptist. And he wanted to save me from hell because he knew I was a Primitive Baptist. Now, what I found out later was that his daddy believed that if you're saved, then it doesn't matter what you do. Sad to say, there's some folks like that. I haven't encountered any lately, but I've heard they're there. Well, it does matter. It's not going to change anything eternally. But if we're blessed to understand what he's done for us, then our very lives ought to show forth every day we live that we are thankful, we are grateful, and we want to please our Heavenly Father and our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. every day. We should live that way. So in Romans 12, when Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In view of all that God has done for us, it is indeed a reasonable service. He doesn't ask us to be nailed to a cross. It wouldn't do any good if we were. But he does tell us to take up our cross and follow him. And that's what Paul is telling us here. All right? So this sacrifice he's talking about here is like the whole burnt offering. A life has to be sacrificed. A life has to be given. It's all symbolic. We understand that the Old Testament sacrifices, well, from the New Testament, Paul says in Hebrews that the bulls and the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. All right? But the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ did. One sacrifice. For by one offering, Hebrews tells us, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 9:12 says, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Those verses tell us that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was successful. It accomplished the Father's will. It did take away sin for all for whom he died. Once and forever. But those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin. But they represented the one who must come and offer his blood to pay the ransom price. And so we find that, as Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know, in the Old Testament, we have some sacrifices recorded before the law was given. Now, I don't know, at the moment, I'm not thinking of any record that Adam offered a sacrifice, but Cain and Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord. So I'm persuaded they probably learned that from Adam. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. But then we have others offering sacrifices after that, don't we? We have Noah offering a sacrifice. Okay? We have Abraham, or while he was Abram, offering the sacrifice. There were many times that there were sacrifices offered prior to the law service. Okay? So then the New Testament, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So again, drawing from the old, showing us how it's fulfilled in the New Testament. So Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, based upon what has been said in the previous chapters, therefore, we're to follow this exhortation. All right? Therefore, by the mercies of God, we're being exhorted to righteousness, to righteous living. All right? Now, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So he's talking to church folks, isn't he? He's talking to those who have been quickened by the Spirit. He's talking to those who can hear the admonition of Scripture, the exhortation of the preaching, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So we understand from the Scriptures that the unregenerate cannot hear the gospel. They can hear the audible sound, but they don't have a place in them. They don't have the Spirit to enable them to receive it. All right? You know, I wish today that everybody, and I'm sure you do too, I wish everybody would obey the gospel. I wish all of those who have been baptized into the church would obey the gospel. But we know not everybody will. So when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this commandment is to us who can hear it, who understand it, for us to respond in that way which is pleasing to God. Because the world at large is not going to do that. It's up to us. We have the privilege and the opportunity and the command to honor the Lord and let our light shine. I know it's the word of God. His commandments are not grievous, you know. But it's our privilege. When we are blessed to understand what he has already done for us, what he has already done for us is enough for us to praise him in all eternity. If we never received another blessing or another mercy from God, we've still got enough to praise him in all eternity. But being blessed to know about it today, then we want to live to the praise of him that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light by the mercies of God. That's where I was going with that. God has shown mercy to us. It's not something we've figured out. It's not something that's dependent upon what family we've been born into. It's by the mercy of God that he's revealed himself to us. You know, Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. Oh, there's so many good folks in this world who thinks that it's necessary for this word to be preached to somebody before they can respond to God. If they could just understand that one verse, flesh and blood hath not revealed it. It takes the act of God, the Holy Spirit, the life-giving voice of the Son of God. It takes God's action upon us in order for us to see, hear, and respond and rejoice in these things. So it's by the mercy of God. And God continues to show mercy. You know, I like to think so many times when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness because they had provoked the Lord at Kadesh Barnea, and God told them they were going to wander for 40 years until all those that were 20 years old and upward died, except for Joshua and Caleb. And they continued in their wanderings. They continued to murmur and complain. And yet the manna fell, just like God said it would, 6 days a week. The manna by the mercies of God. And listen, God has been so merciful to us. He has shown us so much mercy. So it's by the mercies of God that we're blessed to see and know and understand these things and can follow him. Not because we're so good, because God's so good. All right? Present, okay, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. That word carries with it the idea of a once and for all thing. You know, there ought to be a commitment in our life. Not that it would cause us to be born again or cause us to become a child of God, but bless your hearts, we need to commit ourselves to serving the Lord. So present, just like in the Old Testament, that person bringing the offering, they had to give up that animal. That life had to be taken. They had to give it up. It wasn't a matter of bringing it and saying a few words and taking it back home. The picture was a complete giving up of that life. Now, what we have today is far better. You know, we're presenting our bodies. We're alive. We're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. But if you get the picture, in the Old Testament, that sacrifice, that animal that was brought, it was a once and for all presenting and no taking it back. Okay? So he says, present your bodies. You know, when you see that and when you understand what it represented, you see that it represented, or part of what it represented was that sin had been committed. There was something that needed to be offered as a sacrifice because of the sin. All right? Now, that sacrifice never took away the sin. But the picture was, it had to be given up. Life had to be given. And bless your hearts, every time it pointed ahead to that life that had to be given. Once. For all. For all of his people, that is. Once for all time, for all of his people. All right? So, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul makes mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Haven't you heard people saying, well, it's my body, I'll do what I want to. Well, for God's people, that just says it's not your body. You belong to God. All right? So, for ye are bought with a price. And oh, what a price that was. Peter says we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Precious. How precious was that blood? Well, I can tell you this, there was none like it. It was unique. It was by God's design, free from sin. That was the price with which we were bought. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when the Apostle Paul is exhorting us to present your body a living sacrifice, if you have that desire to please God, that redemption has already happened for you. And the scripture is telling us here, we're bought with a price. And so, we belong to God. We're not our own. All right? So present your body a living sacrifice. The giving of a life. You know, sacrifice, giving up. I'd still rejoice to think of our service to the Lord as a privilege. Everything he's done for us, and so little that he calls upon us or requires of us, if he died for us, surely we can live for him. And again, what a privilege it is. You know, just take that thought and compare to Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, aren't you glad? I mean, I really believe that this is a sense in which we can say we could be proud to call the Lord our shepherd. We can be proud of our God. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether good. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gracious. He's loving. He's everything. And so when we think about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, if that's what the Lord calls upon us to do, what a privilege it is for us to be able to have a heart and a mind to be willing to do it. So that we, because there are people in this, plenty of people in this world who cannot, who have no interest in serving God, who have no interest in honoring God, who have no light to let shine, but we do. We do. And so we need to let that light shine. We need to follow what we're being exhorted to do here and present our bodies a living sacrifice. Whatever we can do in the service of God, being so thankful, the Lord is our shepherd. We have been bought with a price, and that was a precious price. Whatever we can do to honor our Lord, sign me up. I want to do that. I want to honor him with my life. And do we get distracted sometimes and get involved and get wrapped up in something in this world? That's possible. But that's why we need to continue to be exhorted to remember him and to remember to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We just need to be reminded, don't we? Even the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter, the whole epistle that he wrote there was to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance and calling to remembrance some things. And so that was the main point that Peter was giving us in that second epistle. All right, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He doesn't call upon us to die, in the sense of having our life taken from us. But we are to present our bodies once and for all. We are to separate ourselves from the things of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. So, we're to be devoting our life, giving it freely, thankfully, finally to God, serving him as best we can. You know, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we have to go through those valleys that are tough. Oftentimes we got a lot of questions and don't seem to have too many answers. You know, and we've all had those situations in our life. We've all in recent years witnessed tragedies happening to other people's lives. And we have questions. And sometimes we don't feel like that we really have a clear answer. But through it all, the answer is always, we're going to continue to be faithful to God. You know, Job went through a lot of trouble, didn't he? A lot of trouble. But he was committed. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? And in all this, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. So whatever our lot, we can remember what God has done for us, what we have to look forward to in all eternity. I mean, this lifetime is just a few years at best. Even if we live to be the age of Methuselah, Paul said, Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Now, I don't mean to belittle the sufferings of this time. I've seen people with terrible burdens that they've had to endure all their life. And then seasons of people's lives that they've had to endure terrible burdens. I don't want to belittle that in the least. But in the big picture, there's still something to rejoice about. Because Jesus has saved us. Nothing can separate us. Heaven will be our home. None of these troubles in this life will follow us to heaven. And we'll be there in a world without end. That's beyond what we can comprehend, but we can accept the fact of it, can't we? And look forward to the prospect of it. And not only will it be a glorious place, but it'll be a place for all the redeemed family of God. The more we can think about these things and keep these things in our mind and guard our heart with the truths of these things and the joy that awaits us. You know, Hebrews also tells us, for the joy that was set before the Lord, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. If we maintain the idea of the joy that we have before us, that Jesus has obtained for us, it'll help us get through the trials of each day. It'll help us to be more of that living sacrifice. It'll help us to endure the challenges that we face each day. All right? Some of our brethren in the past have had to give their lives being faithful to the Lord. I hope we never see another day like that. But you know, just reading about it can cause us to be more thankful for what we have now. Some of what our brethren had to endure, the persecution, the martyrdom, all the things that they suffered. Now, I understand in some places of the world today that there are Christians being martyred on a regular basis. And so it's happening somewhere. And we may face some persecution in this country. Don't know. But things are changing. So I don't know. But I know this, God is faithful. What is it? 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful. Who will not, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So whatever we have to face, if we're facing it depending upon the Lord, we'll fare a whole lot better. I'm not saying we won't suffer. I'm just saying we'll be in a better shape. Trust in the Lord as we go through it, because he's promised to make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. All right, so present your body as a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. In the Old Testament sacrifice, they were to look it over. It was to be without spot and blemish, especially the Passover lamb. But their other sacrifices, they needed to be an acceptable sacrifice. They were not to bring the halt and the lame, the diseased. They weren't to bring that to the Lord. Holy. There's a sense that word holy means dedicated to the Lord's service. So once that animal was dedicated to be the sacrifice, it was separated from the others, and it was to be the sacrifice. Well, there's a sense in which we should be dedicated to the service of the Lord, right? We should dedicate our lives in service to the Lord, not take it back. You know, present once and for all our bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy. Now, I know in and of ourselves, we're not very holy. But in the Lord, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Holy. Acceptable unto God. I just quoted to you from Ephesians 1. He's made us accepted in beloved. And so through the work of Christ, we are accepted in the beloved. But this is an exhortation to godly living. This is an exhortation to live a dedicated life to the Lord. And I know we come short. I know we make our mistakes. But bless your hearts, when you're trying to do your best to serve the Lord as best you can, amen, that's acceptable to him. That's pleasing in his sight. We're all in this side of glory. We're not going to ever see perfection. But we can sure be perfect in the sense of being mature and giving ourselves, dedicating ourselves to the Lord to such a level that we would be living in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. I know we come short, we make our mistakes. But he says, presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, seeking his will. You know, we're not leaning to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledging him. Seeking for the Lord to direct our path. Acceptable unto the Lord. Which is your reasonable service. Now, reasonable. Not just the opposite of unreasonable, okay? But when you stop and think about it, just like when Paul said in Romans 8:18, I reckon, okay? He had considered the matter, He had thought it through, and that was his conclusion. And when we stop and think about what we are by nature, all the mistakes, the shortcomings, the things about us that have not pleased God, and to think about the mercy that God has bestowed upon us, the grace that He continues to show us, the blessings that He gives us each day, the hope that we have set before us. How else could you look at that but saying this is a reasonable service? All that God has done for us. Oh yes, it's reasonable. We thank God every day for the blessings, for the mercy, for all that He does for us, which is our reasonable service. He quickened us, blessed us to know who we are in His sight through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me look at a couple of verses real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll get verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, as we think about, we need His help in everything we do. We look to Him each day. You know, I hope that when we open our eyes in the morning, we thank the Lord for the blessings of another night and ask for His help for the coming day. You know, that's just the best way to start your day, isn't it? To remember His mercy, to thank Him for His blessings, and to look to Him for what we need that day. Now, that's not all that we do. We're going to continue our day looking to the Lord, but we want to start it that way. You know, I know perhaps you've had, I know I have, a phone call either in the night or early in the morning, and you had to get up and rush out and take care of something. And it just, you don't have your time for your morning prayer. Now, you could be in situations like that, you go ahead and start praying, don't you? But what I'm saying is, sometimes through the concern of the moment, we leave off some of those things that we normally do. And you begin to feel it as the day goes on. And maybe we realize, wait a minute, I haven't had my time with the Lord. And we remember the Lord, and we remember to begin to call upon Him and ask for His help. Maybe it's been a while that day and we hadn't thought about it because the demands upon our time and our attention have been such that we haven't thought about our normal routine. But it's our reasonable service. Reasonable. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let's begin in verse 14. Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The things of this world are so fleeting, so changing. What a blessing that we think about when we leave this world. And blessed to be in heaven's pure world. There'll never be any change there. It'll be forever. But here we have no continuing city. But we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Oh, well, we do offer sacrifices in the New Testament, don't we? Okay. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now that's one thing. Giving thanks to his name. When we realize the goodness that God has bestowed upon us, we realize his mercy and grace that he's given us, when we reason through that and realize how wonderful God has been to us, I tell you, don't stop there. Give him the praise. Give glory to his name. Thank him. Because those are the sacrifices that are pleasing to the Lord. We realize he's the one that's perfected us. He's the one that's given us his Spirit. He's the one that sent his Son to save us from our sins, to pay our sin debt, to reconcile us to God. He's the one that's done all of that for us. Let's give him praise every day we live. Not only with our lips, but he says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. So not only is it a matter of just giving him praise with our mouth, but it's also with our actions and with our choices and with our footsteps and all the things that we do each day. Let them be that which would give praise to God and show forth our thankfulness unto him. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, not only the words, but it's also the deeds that God looks upon as sacrifices today. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And it's a very reasonable service, isn't it? Oh, as we think about. So he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that's just the beginning of that chapter. But there's a lot there. You know, I know in the past when I've dealt with this verse of scripture, I was reminded of something Elder Michael Goen said years ago. I doubt it's original with him, but he's the first one I heard say anything about it. He says, you know, it's a reasonable service. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. He said, but you know what? As a living sacrifice, one of the problems we have is that we keep crawling off the altar. May God help us to reason this thing out every day and to remember just how reasonable it is. He sent his Son, who suffered and died, who suffered tremendously, tremendously. The New Testament is sufficient to tell us from the accounts of the gospel how Jesus suffered to save us. But when you understand the Old Testament, then we have case after case in the Old Testament that points us ahead to the kind of suffering, the things that were involved in Jesus coming to save us from our sin. Genesis 22, when that ram was a substitute for Isaac, and that ram had to die and give its life. All the Old Testament sacrifices, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, when you rehearse those verses of Scripture in your mind and you remind yourself of how Jesus had to suffer such agony, and he did a lot of that from the hands of men, but the worst of it was when God turned out the lights and poured his wrath upon his Son, And I've heard men go to great lengths and talk about how there was an eternity of suffering that Jesus endured for us there. And yes, if he hadn't done that for us, then we would eternally suffer separation from God. So that was accomplished. But I don't see it so much as the amount of suffering as it was the quality. Only Jesus could do that. He was the only fit sacrifice. And he willingly went to that cross. He willingly suffered those things. And as he told those two, the road to Emmaus, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And when we rehearse those things, then it becomes even more reasonable. More reasonable. Our privilege, if we have to suffer for Jesus' name, so be it. It's a privilege that we can suffer with him. Because if we do that, if we suffer for righteousness' sake, then we find fellowship in his sufferings. May God help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. May God bless you is our prayer.